today. I'm doing a regular full-on podcast. I just took advantage of the opportunity of many English guests or English-speaking guests being here to record the classes, and I know that means that you have to listen to some Hungarian, but for me it's a good opportunity to be able to speak in English as much as I can. Unfortunately, I don't have that opportunity here in Hungary, so I'm speaking my version of Hungarian, and my experience is that gradually the quality of my English diminishes, so much so that when I go either to England once a year or to India and give class, then I really have to think about what I'm saying. Sometimes I'm at a loss for some words. If there's a Hungarian devotee there, I can ask him what that word means in English, a Hungarian word means in English. So I don't want to fall into this never-never land where I'm neither speaking English properly nor Hungarian, even though writing is something that really helps, but it's a little different writing than reading. One thing that's different is the speed. The speed of writing and the speed of reading are different. Excuse me, speaking, not reading. And also there's no public. If I'm at a loss for some words, then it's easy for me to go to a dictionary. It wouldn't look good if I was using dictionaries to give classes. Anyway, that's why I was putting on the classes the last few days. Today, it's cool and cloudy here in New Rajadam. Up to now, it's been beautifully sunny during the day and cool at night. We're getting near to a full moon. Very, very beautiful. And tomorrow I'll be going to Budapest and staying there for a week. And after the end of that week, I'll be going to Turkey for almost a week. Guru Shakti Prabhu has been preaching there, and I'm officially the GBC, so I haven't gone for 2 years, so this will be my little visit. And when we come back, then I'll travel around Hungary. I'll go to Debrecen and Eger, and then from there to Romania, and then back here for Holy Name Days, which I'm looking forward to, but that's almost a month before I get back to New Rajadam and see Radhe Shyam. Today is the Vishwarup Mahotsava, as well as Srila Prabhupada's taking sannyas that is almost 50 years ago. Vishwarup Mahotsava commemorates the day in which Vishwarup, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's older brother, accepted the renounced order of life and left his family, disappeared. Vishwarup is a expansion of Lord Nityananda Balaram, and he used to regularly visit Advaitacharya when he wasn't in Shantipur. When he was in Mayapur, hear discourses from him, associate with the Vaishnavas, and his understanding of Krishna conscious philosophy was that one needs to give everything to Krishna, and attachments and cultivation of attachments in this material world are illusory. This fire of renunciation really burnt increasingly more and more within Vishwarup, so that on this day he finally took sannyas. Parabhikacharya, Paramahansa sannyas, means disappearing, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did some time later. So Vishwarup took that renounced order and never came home. Sachimata, we read in Chaitanya Bhagavat, really became upset that Advaitacharya had a role to play in her son's leaving, and within her mind she criticized him, which later on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu corrected her for committing such a Vaishnava aparad. She considered it to be an offense. And Sachimata Jagannath Mishra, very heartbroken at the departure of their son. And it was little Nimai who consoled them, telling them that don't worry. He says, you've bound me here with the ropes of love. I'll always stay here. I'll take the Grihastha Ashram and fulfill your desires, that our line will continue, and you'll also be very happy to see future generations here within the Mishra family. Still, Mother Sachi, of course, Jagannath Mishra left not shortly thereafter. He left this world, which means that Sachimata became even more dependent on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She had lost her oldest son, she had lost her husband. Prior to that, she had lost her other children, so the only person that she had was Nimai. And she was very dependent on him, but within her mind, she always feared that maybe he'll also take to the renounced order of life. And this type of mood of union and separation, feeling separation while being with some person, is called prema vaichitya. It's not only experienced by Srimati Radharani and Krishna, but here Mother Sachi, always looking at her beautiful son, seeing his behavior, seeing how he was playing and then later studying. She was always thinking, what if he also leaves? Then I will surely die. And that feeling of separation enriched her love and strengthened her love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srila Prabhupada on this day, he also accepted the renounced order of life. He accepted that from his godbrother, Bhakti Pragya Keshav Maharaj in Mathura. And thus he fulfilled Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur's desire, because Srila Prabhupada had said that even while a grihastha, he would hear, see Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur repeatedly in his dreams calling for him. Calling means that he was calling for him to leave grihastha ashram and enter into the renounced order of life. As Keshav Maharaj would say, that Bhaktivedanta Prabhu, because at that time Srila Prabhupada was Prabhu, he says one cannot be a preacher without taking to the renounced order of life. So Srila Prabhupada personally embodied this principle of renunciation, and he introduced it very early on in his movement so that it would be very clear for the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, particularly those who are in the Grihastha Ashram, that the ultimate issue is renunciation. And even whilst living in the Grihastha Ashram, one should within one's heart cultivate that spirit of renunciation, but certainly either by entering into the Vanaprastha Ashram, or even one step further by taking to the renounced order of life. Physically, at a certain stage, everyone should practice renunciation, because that will ensure that the renunciation that one has practiced throughout one's life becomes real. Or if one hasn't practiced it, or one becomes obliged to do so. Of course, renunciation is not based on sannyas or the formality of entering into sannyas. One has to be within, free from the desire for enjoyment. As Krishna says, anashrita karma palam karyam karam karoti yasa sannyasi cha yogi cha chaniragnir na chakriya, that false renunciation, putting on the clothes of sannyasi but remaining attached within, is artificial. Better that one remain in the Grihastha Ashram or Vanaprastha Ashram, but within cultivate the spirit of detachment. And ultimately this becomes the driving force, as well as the direction in Varnashrama. We may have so many obligations to home, to family, to our children, husband and wife, to our workplace, or even to our service for those devotees who are engaged in full-time service. But our ultimate direction is that full absorption in Krishna, and that nothing else other than Krishna is within our minds. Therefore, it's our tradition in Vedic culture, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that devotees cultivate and practice that renunciation. And it's something that today we can assess within our own lives. Are we cultivating this same spirit in whatever ashram that we are in, whether it be brahmachari or grihastha or even the sannyas? We see very often that sannyasis end up falling down because they haven't really cultivated sannyas within their hearts, and even externally they become distracted by followers, wealth, members of the opposite sex, of course this means women, and so on. Srila Prabhupada wanted that there be sannyasis in the Krishna consciousness movement. He took great risk by making young sannyasis, devotees who were very young and still hadn't experienced the different allurements of material life, encouraged them and allowed them to take sannyas, and it was a risk, and it was a high risk. Many of those devotees didn't stay in the renounced total life, but still, by that, Srila Prabhupada emphasized that it's such an important thing that that be there, so that we don't enter into the type of consciousness where, for instance, with some religions that we know of in the Western world, where for them household life and family life is what they envisage to be even the concept of liberation, spiritual world. That, you know, when you get resurrected, then your family, your wife, your children, your home, even the dog ends up in the spiritual world, and we're all living together happily as a family forever. Neither, and there are other so-called faiths in India where they don't either practice renunciation, believe in renunciation, or have renounced order of life. But in our culture, that's there. It's what we learn from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from our acharyas, and that spirit of detachment is something that needs to be cultivated with a proper sense of understanding of Krishna consciousness, and obviously the temporary nature of material world and the relationships within this material world, as attractive they may be, even when it's amongst devotees. So let's remember that today, and offer our obeisances to these great sannyasis, Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's elder brother, Bishop.